Welcome into the Patriots Training Camp Recap Podcast, day three of camp. I'm Alex Barth. I am joined today by Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald. Andrew, how's it going?
Going very well. Good to be at camp.
It definitely does feel good to be back, although today I couldn't help but think, you know, day three normally is the day the pads come on. This year it's a little different. That's going to be pushed off till Tuesday. And for you, as somebody who's covered camp a number of years, do you notice anything different, maybe the team acting differently, different drills, whatever, to compensate or make up for the fact that that date, the first day of pads, has been pushed back?
You know, definitely. I think there's probably an undercurrent of frustration, you know, is the best way I could put it, right? They want to be in pads, specifically linemen, definitely the coaches. But, you know, this team knows better than most. You can only work with what you've been given. And so with the new CBA, basically no pads through the first few weeks. You can slowly incorporate, you know, more pads. You know, today they're in shells, right? So just the shoulder pads and helmets. And so they're just going to work in the red zone as much as you can. A lot of passing work there, you know, the first few days.
And it's felt like a lot of red zone, but today seemed like the first day they stepped it back. They did more full field work. And the quarterbacks, I think, took advantage. We saw a lot of stretching the field, a big day for Nelson Agholor, and I want to get into him in a minute. But your takeaway today of the quarterback play in Cam Newton versus Mac Jones?
Yeah, so it mirrored yesterday in a lot of ways, where you're absolutely right. You know, that field was stretched early on. Two of Cam's first five attempts are these absolute bombs to Agholor, which, you know, as fast as Nelson Agholor is, he wasn't fast enough to catch up with them. And that's a good sign, I think, because, you know, what happened to Cam a lot last year, you're wondering not only about the accuracy, but the arm strength. The arm strength is better this summer, I think. And, you know, they'll get that timing down. Mac Jones also not shy uncorking and sending deep balls, including one to Agholor that hit him in the hand. So there was parts of that, but the parts that reminded me of yesterday were Mac Jones starts very well. You know, today he was about 4 of 6, I think. And then he finishes 2 of 5 in that last period. Meanwhile, Cam Newton starts slowly, and then he finishes 4 of 5. So he's been better in the areas where you would expect Mac to be better, tight window throws, quick decisions in the red zone. And you just haven't seen that from the rookie, who honestly, dating back to OTAs, just doesn't have the best finishes to these practices.
And another thing with Mac going back to OTAs, it was a lot of checkdowns from him. So today was really the first time I felt like we got to see him with any sort of regularity open it up, push the ball down the field, be aggressive. Were you surprised just kind of watching how he went about that? It was one of the big knocks on him when they took him, was the arm strength and the downfield ability. What were your initial takeaways seeing that in person?
Yeah, his accuracy deep at Alabama was really good. The big question was, is he going to get those same windows? And in all likelihood, no, just because, you know, we all know those receivers right that they had at Bama, not only last season, but even going back the year before. So, you know, his accuracy deep today was good. And I think he's progressively since OTAs gotten more aggressive because, you know, I mentioned the similarities to yesterday. Day two, Mac was more aggressive than Cam, even though he faded slowly. He was better to start and more aggressive to start. A couple deep crossers, you know, one to Kobe Myers. I remember there was another to Johnny Smith, and Cam has been checking down. So yes, the aggression I think has been steadier for him as of late. We didn't see that, as you mentioned early, but it's a good sign because, you know, you need a quarterback to take some more risks, which obviously last year we didn't really see. Maybe he wasn't capable, but, you know, Cam's a better version of himself, and Mac Jones has really been kind of step for step with him, even if he's been the worst quarterback by a slight margin the last 2 days.
Nelson Agholor was the beneficiary of them kind of throwing the ball down the field a little bit more. He had a tough drop early in practice. Wasn't the easiest ball to catch, but one you expect a guy of his standing to grab. But then he really started to put on a show. He had a nice 50-50 ball grab, made an extending catch in the back of the end zone. And it felt like we got that, you know, that was a summation of what the Nelson Agholor experience is going to be, where yeah, you got to deal with the drops, but when he's hauling in the ball, he's really going to make a difference in terms of explosive plays. What did you think of him today?
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. You know, I think that drop was tough, and I was actually just rewatching some fan thankfully grab video of that. So the rare replay you get in training camp. But, you know, for him, the word I keep using to describe him is just sudden. You know, he's so much more, you know, he's so much faster. He accelerates better. He's good in short areas and deep. And of course, they just haven't had a deep threat here for years. So that's new to a degree. But today was the first day that I thought that drop included, he put it all together. So you saw him winning on slants, on posts, on go routes. And that's what they need from him because he's being paid, you know, like a number one receiver. And he doesn't need to produce leaps and bounds better than Jacoby Myers or Kendrick Bourne, but he's got to be a better player than they are if this offense, I think, wants to get to its, you know, best version of itself. And today, that's exactly who he was.
it's been interesting to see it so far, because with an offense that projects to run a lot of 12 personnel, you're really looking at two primary receiver spots. And that group of Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, who had a great day yesterday, and Jacoby Myers, who is right there with them and has had a good camp as well. There's going to have to be, you'd think, an odd man out, but is it possible that, you know, if all those three guys, and it's early, but all those three guys continue to have the camp they're having, do we start talking about 12 personnel maybe becoming a little more specialized? And I don't think the Patriots totally going away from it, but becoming more of a piece of the puzzle to the offense as opposed to the whole offense.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're happy. You know, the two tight ends get a lot of headlines, and deservedly so, right? You follow the money, you follow their production with Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith. You know, those are guys who are going to be leaned on. But they want to get back to their game plan roots. If we can go from a three-receiver offense like you're talking about, two tight ends one week after another, smash mouth, which I think will probably be the only consistent part of this offense all year, to then breaking out, maybe even going four wides if N'Keal Harry sticks around and whomever's there to fill that number four spot. So, yeah, I think it's a really good point. Also because – you know, we talk about Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and the way they've been paid, just as I did now. They're the best tight end tandem in the league, but when you look at them individually, are either of them top five in the NFL? Probably not, and probably even a definitive no. Within the top 10, yeah, I think they sneak in there. But individually, you know, Hunter Henry has zero targets in team drills today. That's just something that you could probably see happening in a game or two this season, just because, you know, unless you're a dominant player, you have games like that. You have practices like that.
All right, just to flip it over to the defensive side of the ball now, and it's been tough for the guys up front, like we talked about, with no pads. They can't do a ton, but there were three sacks today. Josh Uche went among them, and he's coming off of that dominant spring that he had. What do you take away from the defensive front, knowing that there's this massive caveat of, well, they can't really be physical right now?
You know, I think it's similar to what I just said about the offense, where you can go from 12 personnel to 11, maybe sometimes 10 with this defense. There are just so many more answers that they can go to. They're more versatile. They're more multiple. And it just allows Bill Belichick to do what he does best on a week-to-week basis, game plan and problem solve. So you can have Judon, Uche, Hightower, Van Noy coming off the edge, or you can bulk up and field Lawrence Guy and Devon Godchow, you know, throw in a Henry Anderson and kind of go five wide with, you know, some more run stuffers. So I think it's exciting to see that mixing and matching. They can survive injuries, which obviously they couldn't last year, right? And especially the opt out of Hightower, where you're just pulling guys off the street to plug gaps. They don't have to do that anymore. So they're deeper, they're more versatile. And I'm excited to see that kind of multiple nature. And talking to Brian Hoyer today, he was like, they're really kind of getting in their bag in the red zone with these different coverages, which is exciting because, again, that just unlocks so many more opportunities because it's deep, but also very veteran group.
And it's really interesting with Hightower because he's a guy who has always been a very versatile player. That's always been one of the highlights of his game. But if there was one element that he maybe didn't do as much, it was coverage. And he comes back from the opt-out and he's slimmed down. And now all of a sudden he looks like a coverage linebacker. And it adds a whole, you know, extra element to it. And it's just kind of been fascinating. Again, today, he still looks like a really dominant player. I don't want to say that he looks worse, but his game's different. I think his game evolved in the year that he was off, even just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And we won't really know again until the pads are on, just right, in terms of how good he is in coverage. But he definitely looks slimmer. And I think he's relying on his instincts and anticipation as much as ever, which you didn't know how much the physical was going to be there. And you knock off some rust mentally. But he jumped the pass yesterday. You know, Trey Nixon, okay, he's a seventh round rookie, whatever. But he's a lot quicker and faster than Dont'a Hightower. And he goes in and kind of sits over the middle. And Hightower's breaking before that arm is cocked back and the ball is thrown to Nixon. He gets there easily for a pass breakup. So those are the plays where I think he's still got enough legs to go out and be a step ahead or a half step ahead of the play. And if he improves in coverage, again, that was really the only knock. But that's what always kept him at least, you know, maybe not step for step, but within arm's reach of whomever he was, you know, covering defensively. And now, again, if he makes up for a half step of just being lighter and kind of getting away from football for a year, you know, the Pats will be better for it.
Who was your player of the day today?
You know, it's close. I actually went with Aguilar, and it's funny because, you know, it started with that drop, but he has 9 targets, which tied with Gunnar Olszewski for the most, and Gunnar came on late. He had 6 catches, actually, in that last period, which I knew was a lot, but I was like, damn, okay. And so for him, again, it was just the variety in the way in which he won, the slant, the post, the go, and, you know, even in those 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 periods. But, you know, Cam was close. It's just tough because he has – usually the worst throws in practice, and he never has the best one, but he lives in that middle area where you're going, okay, you can live and win with this in the red zone. And we haven't even been able to see him introduce his rushing ability, right? Because he can't get hit. He won't get hit, but at least with the pads, you know, he'll be able to break some tackles in real game situations. So that'll come in his favor. And it was a close candidate, but I think just in terms of, you know, his, who had the best plays and then who won in the most ways, Aguilar is the answer to both those questions.
And then finally here, before we let you go, I've been asking everybody this because I just love hearing all the different answers. We're going to talk a ton about Mac versus camp. That's obviously the battle of camp. But is there any other position battle, either for a roster spot or a depth chart spot, that stands out to you? You're excited to watch, see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's a tough one. There aren't that many, honestly. Like, and I think you could go really deep into who's going to be the third or fourth corner, right? Because if and when Gilmore returns, you're an injury away from some real trouble. And then you've got some safeties in there where Kyle Duggar and Devin McCourty are givens, probably Adrian Phillips. Where does Jalen Mills fit in? But I'll just go back to the receivers, because I think in that same vein, talking about the corners, right, who's going to be number three, number four, you know, again, Gunnar Olszewski had six catches today. And this is a dude who right after Aguilar is probably their most sudden athlete, both in short areas and going deep. So could he push for that number four spot? If N'Keal Harry gets traded, is that a reflection on their confidence of the other people there? Or does Harry stick around and battle? So there's going to be an injury most likely to Aguilar, Bourne, or Jacoby Myers at that some point in the season. Who can step up behind them? Because, you know, you got the tight ends, but after that, you need someone that scares you a little bit. And I think Gunnar might be the guy, but if not, you know, maybe they go out and get someone, because they've been doing that the last like three summers, it feels like.
It definitely does. So you think N'Keal, you think the trade request comes to fruition?
You know, I think the rest of the league is banking on them cutting him, just in the way that the Patriots didn't strike a deal over the offseason and it wouldn't have taken much. But we'll see what he has in terms of a market this summer. So I would still probably say it does get fulfilled, but you know, there's a chance it just, you know, an injury strikes you already before they even get to the games, and then you need him, and then you can't really deal him. So it's just too tough to tell right now.
Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald. You can follow him on Twitter @_AndrewCallahan for all of his training camp reports and analysis. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Not a problem, man.